today, and let's see what God has for us in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2. In a recent sermon, we looked at the importance of sharing the water of life. To take the water of life and share it with spiritually thirsty people. And we examine over a two-week period the fascinating story in John chapter 4, how Jesus himself connected with a Samaritan woman at a well. And when he connected with her, he did more than talk about the weather. He connected with her, but he connected with her in order to speak to her about her eternal soul. As we go through the New Testament, another metaphor that is often used in addition to water is light. And the Bible is clear. Christians, you and I who claim the name of Jesus Christ are to be bright lights shining in a dark world. But what frustrates us and what we have to come to grips with is, how do we do that? How do we shine our lights in this dark world? You talk to some people and they say, well, you just passively wait on God to direct you. Others say, no, you pursue it. You pursue the mission that God has called you to. What's the answer? I think the answer is found in the passage before us. The passage before us is an example of both God's sovereignty and man's responsibility as we seek to be light bearers in a dark world. Follow as I read Philippians 2, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Don't you hate to do something in vain? We've all been there. We feel like we've given an extra effort. We worked hard, and all our efforts seem to be useless, in vain. The Bible tells us, Paul told us, that he didn't want to come to the end of his life and find that what he had done was in vain, that he had labored in vain. And so he gives us instructions through the Holy Spirit of God. So we come to the book of Philippians. Philippians, as many of you know, is the epistle of joy. The epistle of joy. If there's anything we need in this dark world we live in, it's joy. It's the joy that only God can bring. Let us rejoice in Christ. Let us rejoice in His gospel. Let us rejoice in the privilege of shining the light. And so the message today is, keep shining the light. Many of you last week brought friends to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were shining your light. Many of you are planning to be involved in the exchange seminar so you can become more proficient, as I want to become, in shining the light of the gospel. Keep shining the light. How do we shine the light? First of all, shine your light by doing. Shine your light by doing. Verse 12 says that we are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this is controversial for some people. Some people will come to this verse and they'll say, see, you get to heaven by working out your salvation. You work to be saved. But this phrase does not mean that. Work out does not mean you work for your salvation. Why? There's different reasons. First of all, the context of Philippians is very, very clear. The context is to Christians. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, it is written to God's servants. This verse, chapter 2, verse 12, is addressed to the beloved. Therefore, my beloved. Who are the beloved? It is believers. The New Testament is clear on the nature and basis of salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Titus 3, 5 through 8 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And it goes on and says that we who already believe should be careful to maintain good works. So when it says work out your salvation, it literally means this. It means see something to its completion. See it to its completion. What is completion for the believer? Completion is to be spiritually mature, to come to Christian maturity, and then eventually to be in the presence of God in perfection for all eternity. The term work out is used in reference to minors. What do minors do? We live in West Virginia. What has in the past been king here in our state? Coal. Coal mining. It's not as strong as it once was. But this state was built to a large degree on coal miners. The idea of working out is to work out of the ground that which has been already placed in the ground by the Creator. In other words, God placed within the ground that coal and that gold and that silver and those precious gems. What does a miner do? A miner takes his shovel. He takes his machinery. He or she goes into the ground to work out, to mine out what's already been placed there by the Creator. And that's the idea here. Salvation is totally of the grace of God. But we take an active part in our salvation, not in getting saved, but through our spiritual growth, through our spiritual lives. 1 Timothy 4, 7 says, exercise yourself toward godliness. How many of you love exercise? Let's see your hands. All right, a few. You know what? I like to exercise because of the benefits I get from it. Almost every time I pull up to Planet Fitness up here on the hill and grab my gym bag, almost every time I want to do something else. I want to find something else to do. But when I get done with my workout, I am glad I did it. Why? Because it doesn't just help me physically, but it helps clear my mind. It helps me in a lot of different ways. Take away stress. It's just a good thing to do. And the Bible says this, we as Christians are to exercise ourselves to godliness. Can we make ourselves godly? No. But we can exercise ourselves that way. The word exercise in 1 Timothy 4, 7, gymnos, from which we get the word, English word, gymnasium, is the idea of we work our spiritual muscles. Exercise yourself toward godliness. Work those spiritual muscles. Work the muscles of your mind through Scripture, through reading the Scripture, through Scripture memory. Work your muscles of faith by praying and asking God to do great and mighty things. Work those muscles of evangelism by sharing the gospel. Jerry Bridges, many, many years, he died a couple years ago with the Navigators. Wrote a lot of books on discipleship and spiritual growth, said this, we Christians may be very disciplined and industrious in our businesses, our studies, our home, or even our ministry, but we tend to be lazy when it comes to exercise in our own spiritual lives. We would much rather pray, Lord, make me godly, and expect Him to pour some godliness into our souls in some mysterious way. God does, in fact, work in a mysterious way to make us godly, but He does not do this apart from the fulfillment of our own personal responsibility. We are to train ourselves to be godly. Jay Adams wrote this. He said, you may have sought and tried to obtain instant godliness. There is no such thing. We want somebody to give us three easy steps to godliness, and we'll take them next Friday, and then we'll be godly. The trouble is godliness doesn't come that way. Folks, we are to be doing. To shine our light, we are to be doing. We shine our light by doing. Do, read, and study your Bible, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. Do, be faithful to attend your church. Be here when God's people gather. That is part of the exercise unto godliness. Do not just come to be ministered to when you come, but come to minister. You exercise your muscles spiritually when you reach out, when you say, how are you doing? When you can tell somebody's burdened and you pray for them, when you make them a meal and take it to them, when they have a need. Do minister to others and do share your faith. Share your faith with those who need Christ. And we shine our light by doing. We are active. We are involved. But also, and here's the balance, shine your light by depending. Shine your light by depending. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Beloved, doing without depending is simply a work of the flesh. I mean, we could have a pep rally this morning and we could be up doing cheers and let's all go out and conquer the world for Jesus, and we can have the cheers and we can be jumping around and we can go out of here like we're shot out of a rocket. But we're not going to get too far before that rocket burns out. You see, as we do, work out your own salvation, what God has already worked in through His grace into our lives, we are to work out in how we live our Christian lives, but we do that depending on Him. It's futile. It's frustrating to try to live the Christian life, to try to shine our light in the arm of the flesh. There are two different workers here in verses 12 and 13. In verse 12, the child of God is working out, exercising his or her faith in everyday life. Verse 13, God is working into the believer his attributes. He's working into you and I. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, all these things that we're to have as God's children. And He is energizing us to live the Christian life. It's not in the arm of the flesh. It's not just do, 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 do. It's do but depend. It is taking our responsibility, but doing that in a way that is dependent on the Holy Spirit of God. We need to remember we are only able to do good works because God is already at work in our lives. In fact, earlier in Philippians it says, He who has already begun a good work in us. At salvation, He began a good work in us. He'll keep on doing it until the day of Jesus Christ. Depending. Depending. Our job is to cooperate with God. We depend on Him totally for salvation. By His grace, we depend on Him for spiritual growth in our lives and guidance by the Holy Spirit. We depend on Him to do His work in us and through us. And so, yes, we shine our lights by doing. We don't just sit in the pew and just say, Lord, I guess if there's something for me to do, there'll be a lightning bolt from heaven. There are a lot of things we know we should be doing. But let's not do it in the arm of the flesh. Let's depend on Him. He has already put His work of grace in our hearts, and now He is working the fruit of the Spirit in our lives by His grace. And so let's shine our light by depending on Him. Without full dependence on the Lord, it is impossible to shine the light of the gospel. But when we do depend on Him, He does things that blow our minds. He empowers us to be doers of the Word of God in a way we could never do in our own strength. And He helps us to shine our light. And so we shine our light by doing and by depending, and then 3, shine your light by being different. By being different. It says in verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Shine your light by being different. Now, by being different, I do not mean being strange or weird. Okay? Oh, man. Pastor Dave, you are different. I'll say that. You could say to me, I'm different. And depending on how you translated that, I could be either very happy or kind of upset with you, okay? I could say Gary Johnson is different. And you have thinking all different thoughts there, aren't you? I mean it in a good way. But different does not mean stranger. Where different means distinctive. Distinctive. We are to be distinctive as Christians. As those who shine our lives, we should be distinctive in our attitudes, in our actions, in our lifestyle. And I believe in these two verses, there are three different ways that Paul says we can be different. We can be distinctive. The first is this: we can live joyfully in a sad world. We can live joyfully in a sad world, do all things, verse 14, without complaining and disputing. How do we live joyfully in a sad world? Don't be a complainer. Don't complain. The word in this verse, complain, literally means to mutter or to grumble. We've all done it. We know people who we see them coming and we know they're going to be complaining about something. The Bible says do all things without complaining, without muttering and grumbling, because complaining is an outward expression of an inward rebellion within us. Who are the greatest examples of mumblers, of grumblers, of complainers? The children of Israel. The children of Israel were grumblers. They got out of Egypt. That was a miracle. They come to the Red Sea, and the same God that got them out of Egypt, they didn't believe could get them through the Red Sea. So they began to mutter, to grumble, to complain to Moses. What does God do? He opens the Red Sea. They walk across on dry land. They are safe. And then they're wandering in the wilderness, and God is giving them manna, and he's taking care of them, and they're still grumbling, they're complaining, they're muttering. They just weren't happy. They weren't happy. It came to the place in Exodus 16:8 that Moses said to the children of Israel, your complaints are not against me, they're against the Lord. And you know, we need to keep that in mind when we start to complain and gripe, and nothing pleases us, that ultimately as believers, when we gripe and complain, it is ultimately not against people, it's against the holy God. Because he's the one who has placed us where he's placed us. He's the one who wants us to be joyful in a sad world. Complaining is an attack on God's goodness. So don't be a sad complainer, be a joyful encourager. I'm not saying you can't go to your boss or to the pastor or to, you know, when you see something that you think should be addressed and then with a good spirit talk about that. I'm not saying that. But what the Bible is saying here, do all things without complaining and disputing. There's a difference between, you know, talking to somebody who can maybe change something for the good in a right attitude and way, than mumbling and grumbling, and most of that is among themselves and not to anybody that can take care of anything in the first place. And so Paul says, don't complain. Live joyfully in a sad world and don't dispute. Without disputing, what does it mean to dispute? Disputing means we have a suspicious spirit, a negative attitude. Like I said a moment ago, it's okay to disagree. We all have different ideas and opinions. And that's one of the things that makes life exciting. If we all thought exactly alike, it would be boring. It'd be a boring life. It'd be a boring church, okay? If we all thought exactly alike. in every little thing. We can have different opinions and we can have different ideas. But we shouldn't be disagreeable. And when we're disagreeable, we have a defensive spirit. We're on the attack. I'm right. You're wrong. And what Paul is saying here, do all things without complaining and disputing. As believers in a dark world, we shouldn't be like the world. We shouldn't be tearing each other down. We shouldn't be griping and complaining. We should have a good spirit, not a suspicious spirit, not a negative attitude, but be encouragers. So how do we let our light shine by being different? Live joyfully in a sad world. Secondly, live straightly in a crooked world. Verse 15 says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. It's talking about being a person of integrity. It says be blameless. It doesn't mean be perfect. But blameless means there's no accusing finger pointed at us. There's nothing that we can, that somebody can grab a hold of, and it hurts our testimony. Be blameless. Live above reproach. When you do mess up, ask forgiveness, because we all do make mistakes and we sin and we mess up. Be blameless and be harmless. The word harmless simply means be pure or simple. Romans 16, 19 says, be simple concerning evil. Be simple concerning evil. And I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. We live in a world, especially with our instant communication today, with the internet and all that, we can be well versed in sin. Even if we don't participate in that sin, we can read all about it, we can hear all about it, we can look at videos all about sin. And the Bible says in this world, be simple about it. We don't need to know all the details. Be pure and simple, be harmless. And it says be blameless and harmless. Why? Because we are living in a crooked and perverse generation. The word crooked comes from the Greek word scolios, from which we get the English word and the disease scoliosis. What is scoliosis? It's a curvature of the spine. It's a curvature of the spine. I had a secretary in Michigan that had scoliosis very bad, and she's had to have several surgeries over the years. And it's a tough thing, and some of you have dealt with that, either yourself or in your own family. The word picture there is the world in which we live. It has curvature of the spine. It's not straight. And it says perverse. Perverse means to be permanently disfigured, distorted. Another word would be perverted or twisted. Does that describe the world in which we live today? Perverted, twisted, crooked. That described the world that Paul lived in. It describes the world we live in. It will describe the world until Jesus comes, because sin has so tainted our world that the world system is perverted. It's perverse. It's crooked. It's corrupt. And so because of that, we must be blameless. We must be harmless. We must live straight when everything else around us is crooked. And then we need to live brightly in a dark world, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Folks, I know what our desire is at times. It's my desire at times. Just to try to simply exist in this world. Just to kind of get through it. I mean, you look at the news and it is so discouraging. Political leaders are under attack and they're attacking each other, and it's so frustrating. You start hearing all these stories about how people treat each other, how powerful men treat women, and all these kinds of things. And you know, you feel like you need a bath after you watch the nightly news. You really do. And you think, can we just hide? Can God's people just kind of cocoon? Can we hide from all this junk around us? Can we fly under the radar? No, I wish I could say yes, but the answer is no. We can. Why? Because it says we are to do something. We are to shine as lights. We don't hide our light under a bushel. We don't take a basket and put it over our light. We cannot hide our light. We must be radiant light. And when the light is present, the darkness does what? When the light is present, the darkness flees. It's gone. We could turn all the lights off in this room, but if we took some candles, it would start to light up. That light, darkness flees when the light comes. Someone has said light is a beautiful illustration of something that does what it has to do by being what it ought to be. It does what it has to do by being what it ought to be. You take a candle, you light that candle. By being that candle that's lit, it does what it's supposed to. It lights the room. As Christians, if we will be the people of God that we were created to be, that we were saved to be, we will make a difference. We need to shine our light by being different. And then finally, shine your light by delivering. Shine your light by delivering, holding fast the word of life. Folks, we are to deliver the gospel. We are to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it says in verse 16, hold fast. Hold fast. The idea here is a gracious host offering the finest food and drink to their guest at a banquet. They are holding forth. They are holding fast the banquet. And that banquet is something to behold. And the food is the best you could ever eat. And everything is just perfect. Holding fast. Holding forth. It means it's a kind, gracious, compelling atmosphere. When it says hold fast the word of life, it doesn't just mean stay steady and firm in your belief. It does mean that, but it means more than that. Holding fast or holding forth the word of life is that we are to make the gospel compelling to a lost world by loving life and by our gracious lips. Hold it forth. Hold it fast. Stand firm. Speak the truth in love. The gospel is compelling to a lost and dying world when they see Christians who really believe it, who really love their Savior, and who really love them. And here's the neat part. When we deliver the gospel to a dark world, our light shines the more brightly. And not only does our light shine the more brightly, because the darker the night, the brighter the light, our lives as Christians are victorious. It says, holding fast the word of life, why? So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I started out by saying, have you ever worked for something and invested, and when you got all done with it, you thought, what a waste. What a waste. People have invested in houses, and when they got done with all the money spent, they said, what a waste. People invested in other people's lives. They've given themselves for other people, and at the end of the day, they think, well, that was a waste of time. It was a waste of years. But folks, when we invest in the gospel, when we invest in being light shiners in a dark world, we're never sorry. We're never sorry. Paul said, I want to hold fast the word of life that when I come face to face with Jesus Christ, I will know it's not been in vain. It's been worth every sacrifice, every effort, everything for Christ. Shine your light by boldly and compassionately delivering the gospel to others. Many of you here at Cross Lanes Bible Church have been shining your light. Many of you made an effort last week to invite your friends and family to come to Friend Day to hear the gospel. And for some of you, people did come with you. They showed up. They heard a message entitled, "Who is this friend called Jesus?" They heard the gospel. For others of you, you got turned down. You tried to be faithful. You tried to bring people with you. For whatever reason, they didn't come. You were still a faithful light shiner. Because in depending on God, we depend on His results. We don't keep track. We don't put notches in our belts as to who we lead to Christ or who comes. We simply are proclaimers of the gospel. We proclaim the gospel and we depend on the Spirit of God to work in people's hearts. We invite people to come and hear the gospel and we depend on the Spirit of God to help bring them not only to the place where they hear the gospel, but bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This Saturday, we'll begin the exchange seminar, and I'm going to say more as we close the service. There's been a wonderful response to this. Many of you are planning to attend. Why? You want to shine your light more effectively, better than ever. You want to get, as I do, better equipped to shine the light, to be a blessing to those who need Christ, and to help new believers grow in Jesus Christ. And so I would say, as we bring this time to a close this morning, until we are in heaven, until we see our Savior face to face, let's keep shining the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to what?
Let it shine.
I'm going to what?
Let it shine.
Let it shine. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would do it. I pray that we would keep shining our light. Thank you for so many that have been shining their lights. Thank you that so many who desire to get better equipped in shining our lights. And Lord, just help us to do what we know to do in obedience to you, to do what we can do, but the whole time depend on you. We're saved by grace alone, and we're energized as believers by the Spirit alone to see fruit. And Lord, as we are seeking to depend on you and do, help us to be different. Help us to be distinct, not weird, not strange, but distinct from the world. And then help us to declare that gospel, to tell the story of Jesus and his love. In Jesus' name, amen.